Welcome to Built Brave. Driven women sharing their stories to show others what is possible for them, because we were all born brave. I'm your host, Lo Wentworth, and this is Built Brave. Are you ready? Hey, everyone. Happy Galentine's Day if you're listening to this on Thursday, February 13th. It's Love Week. I love how I declared the whole week of Valentine's Day Love Week, because we all know my standing on love. And if you don't, it's self-love. Relationships are a reflection of yourself. Partnerships, romantic, not platonic, familial, they're all reflections of yourself. And if you don't love yourself fully, how can they love you? They're just filling a void, and then the foundation will crack and we'll all be a pile of mess because why didn't it work out? Well, because it wasn't right for you, Susan. It wasn't right for you, whether that's a friendship or a romantic relationship. You missed the warning signs because you thought they were butterflies. Thank you, Haley Graveyard. That's her song, Graveyard. Listen to it. I had it on repeat this weekend. But I digress. So I'm actually really excited for this guest. She is amazing. We had a great conversation, and then I went to her first day-long event for Still Standing, and it's Still Standing is focused on women and providing mental health resources for women and changing the conversation regarding mental health, because it's still taboo and woo-woo-y. Just like everything else, like sex and money and manifestation and crystals and tarot cards and, you know, all of that fun stuff. Like, no one ever really talks about this. And if you do, you get labeled a certain way, which is all sorts of effed up. But I just enjoyed having this conversation because it was also discussing how she pivoted in her own career. She was a Pilates instructor, owned her own studio. Still at the height of it, she decided to let it all go to pursue entertainment. She has a new single released, and it's just so amazing to witness and hearing her story and what it took for her to get there and what she went through is just remarkable. And I think everyone needs to hear it, because mental health affects everyone. It does. Yes, there are sometimes you might be dramatic, and then there's sometimes there might be even chemical imbalances and all of that, and it is all help. You can even listen to Gabby Bernstein's, her most recent podcast interviews are discussing how she has a new appreciation for mental health and what that looks like set on her own journey after having her son in postpartum setting. Now, it's not saying that you have to have a kid postpartum, all of that. Mental health affects everyone. I know when I graduated law school, and even in the middle of law school, I was just a shell of a human. I should have gone to therapy. I should have been doing those things because I was just a hot mess. And it was double the mess minus the hot guys. It was that bad. And so you learn to grow from there. And one of those experiences both she and I discussed about is accepting support as a strong woman. It is so freaking hard to accept support, because then you feel like you're failing, because everyone's always been coming to you. You've been there for everyone. You've had your shit together. And then when your world crumbles, you don't want to share that or accept support, because it feels like if you do, then everyone else's world is going to crumble with it, because you're somehow the glue to it all, which is super egotistical here. But it's the truth. There have been many women, also men, but many women I've come across who have that same feeling. And it's okay to accept support. It doesn't make you a failure. It doesn't at all. It actually strengthens you and brings people along to help you in whatever capacity it is. And you strengthen those relationships, because relationships aren't born by the good times, guys. They are not. They are born when you both are going through the thick of it at the same time. And vulnerability is a massive thing for that all. And it's okay to be vulnerable. In fact, vulnerability is the key to a lot of things in your life and changing the life you're living. And vulnerability takes many different shapes, guys. I've already talked about this, you know. And I'll talk more about it because vulnerability is my superpower. And with that, guys, let us begin. Hello, everyone. I'm so excited for today's guest. And if you're listening, this is right around Valentine's Day or the day before Valentine's Day or Galentine's Day if you're single like I am. And I'm just so excited to have her on. So I'll let her go ahead and introduce herself because I'm also struggle busting with the name pronunciation because I know it's Daniela, but I keep wanting to say Danielle. So there, we'll just stop right there with that.
Well, you said it right. And a lot of people do call me Danielle, so that's okay. But so hi everybody. I am Daniela Galdi and I am honored that Lo has asked me to come on the Built Brave podcast. I love it a lot. Been listening to a lot of her episodes recently, so I'm really honored. So thank you, Lo.
You're welcome. So for the audience, give them a little background, who you are, what you did, snapshot, and then we'll just go from there.
Sure. So I have grown up in Philadelphia. I've lived here my whole life, kind of bounced around different neighborhoods. So I'm a big Philly fan. And I grew up in an Italian family. My parents were immigrants, right from Italy. Very loving, very supportive, and I have three sisters, so I'm the baby of four girls, and you can imagine what that was like in our household.
Insane,
yes, so insane, and it's actually funny because I actually say that for a long time, I grew up dancing as well, so for a long time, I would say my sisters always spoke for me, so it's kind of funny that now I do a lot of communications and on-air work because I'm talking a lot more than I feel like I had in the past. So I grew up dancing, performing, and everything in entertainment. Very big on fitness and my health, and straight A student. A random piece of information: I took college classes while I was still in high school, which is actually the greatest thing I ever did because it was the easiest senior year. and then I went on to go to, kept up with my dance and went to school at the University of the Arts in Philadelphia and, had my own performance company, with a partner actually at 21 and decided that I wanted to go into more of fitness and health and learn more about that. It's kind of funny. It was what do I do to make money? And I hope we can talk about this more because your latest podcast was about burning the plan B and it resonated so much for me because this has been a cycle that I constantly am trying to break. But long story short, it was either become a Pilates instructor or go to medical school.
Wow.
So I went to the Pilates certification. I did a very intensive one. I decided that it was a lot safer. I wouldn't be able to kill anybody. I was petrified of, that. So decided at 24, I was going to open my own studio, became a business owner while performing and different things like that. And so it's a little blend of my personal and my professional. 28, I decided to close my business, which was one of the best choices I did, but it was also a really hard decision because things were great. It was actually the time when I was making the most income in my life. And I decided that entertainment bug just wasn't gone and I wanted to really fully focus on that. So that's how I got into, doing more singing and on camera work, which is really cool because I've been working on that for over 5 years or so. And, I'm on air at QVC with a brand that I love, and I'm just still trying to really push in that entertainment world. So, and then I have a boyfriend of 10 years almost, and we have an adorable cat, Jolene. So there's my whole life.
Yeah, it sounds like you've done a lot of different things. So
we'll start to like unpack that. And you mentioned about the latest episode about burning bridges and to the plan B and all of that. So what's coming up for you that you want to share with the audience?
Absolutely. So this was such a huge, it resonated with me so much, Lo. I was listening to it the whole time going, yes, yes, that's, she's so right, you know? So that's kind of always been my whole life. And since we're talking about like, it's right around the time of this love holiday, my self-love, it's funny because if anyone would have ever asked me, you know, I really do like myself. I like who I am. But there were parts of me that I see now that I didn't like. I had a lot of fear. A lot of things were doubtful, fearful, fearful of not necessarily going into things. Like if you asked me to do anything, minus like maybe swim with sharks and like jump from a plane, I won't do that. But I'm not afraid to start things. I'm not afraid to go for things. I'm for a long time, and I'm still working on this, very afraid of what people were thinking about me, very self-conscious. Only recently, I was telling somebody lately, only recently can I have a conversation where I'm not actually in my head thinking the whole time, am I saying the right thing, and being self-conscious about that. So a big piece of eliminating that plan B was to believe that I really, you know, build that self-confidence that I have something to offer. So I realized that I'd constantly done this plan B focus my whole life because it was either a financial situation where it was like, okay, well, I'm still working to be a performer. I'm still working to be on camera. You know, I'm still working on what my new business ventures look like, because with my Pilates studio, it was very straightforward. I knew I was a great teacher. I knew I could teach. I knew how to make the money because basically it was the lessons. You know, I knew where it would come from. I knew people needed fitness. I knew it was a necessity. So that was an easy, you know, situation, but it was still my backup plan because I didn't believe that I would be able to make an income or make a living or support myself through, you know, really focusing on an entertainment career. And so that kind of was a common thread. And then this past year, I really just kind of threw things out the window. I told myself, you know what, if I have to borrow money, I will swallow my pride. I will borrow money. I will ask family for help because I'm fortunate enough to have that help. And I will just fully focus on building my own brand more. And you know, it's still not completely there after a year, and I constantly have to remind myself, which is why I loved hearing your podcast episode. I'm constantly reminding myself, like, no, this is what I want. I actually recently did this. I took a real estate course last month. I wish everyone could see my face right now because it's kind of like that emoji with all the straight lines where it's like, why'd you do that?
Like, WTF, this is out of left field.
Yes. And you know, it was something that I would have the flexibility to where I could work on all the other things I wanted to work on. But you really can't do that. I'm a big believer in we can do everything that we want to do. But when you try to do something you don't want to do in order to do the things you do want to do, that's when frustration happens.
Exactly. It's like, you know, still haven't like burned those boats yet. Even it's so interesting, like how deep-seated stories are like ingrained in you. So when they keep popping up, even though you are working towards entertainment, you closed your Pilates studio to do that. And now it's like, wait, what? I took a real estate course because I wanted the flexibility and freedom to, it's such a ludicrous logic, but it's also something that's deeply ingrained in society because no one has ever really taught us to believe in the plan A, to believe in that audacious dream you have. It's always, you know, what are you going to be when you grow up that financially is stable for you, that you work until you retire and then you can go and have fun? Where it's more and more, at least in my generation, and looking, I go, I see all you guys working and aren't happy. And then you say, I wish I would have done things while I was young. I'm going to take that advice. Like, I'm going to take that no matter how terrified I am. Like, I'm going to do it eventually. Right.
I actually started to, I don't know if my sister knows this, but I actually started to tell my nephews, I stopped asking them, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? Although sometimes I ask them because their answers are hilarious, especially my six-year-old nephew. But I started to ask you, what would you want to do right now? Because, you know, they can do things right now. And I've seen, especially in the dance world, I've seen dancers who spent all this time, especially going through college. I really wanted to go because I knew I needed to further my technique. I wanted to have a new perspective on production, things like that. But I know a lot of people who, after they finished college and went to school for dance, they were done. And they were fine with that. But it's like, I hope for them that they got in everything they wanted to do while they felt that passion and that fire for that, because we change. We're constantly evolving. And, you know, I just hope for people that they take advantage of it as they are experiencing that feeling.
Mm-hmm. And you pointed out something about, like, with your nephews, that's really important about being present and in the moment. Like, so how many times, and going with dance, like, you have 6-year-olds who are better dancers and working towards a professional dancing career when maybe that's not exactly what they want, because there's so much emphasis that you need to get into this one thing, and maybe the child doesn't enjoy it. Maybe they want to be doing something else. Maybe exactly. They do want to go hang out with their friends. Maybe they need to hang out with their friends. Like, they are children.
Exactly. And I should mention that I taught full-time dance as well for almost 15 years. Right now, I don't do it anymore. I'll do workshops and things like that. Mm-hmm. It's funny you mentioned that, because I would start to recognize what children really wanted to be there because they love dance. What children were there because, you know, their parents made them. What children were there because they liked to see their friends, even if they, you know, they didn't really care for dancing. And so it's important that we, especially with the young children, like, really honor what they're there for and hear them out, because, you know, you want them to grow in the direction they want to grow. So I love that you brought that up about the 6-year-olds, because it is important. And if somebody feels like they can be, you know, they want to really go full force with it, I think they should try to, so that doesn't pass them by, that passion, you know, doesn't pass them by.
Right, exactly. And going into that, like, say you're not a 6-year-old who wants to dance. Maybe you are a 29-year-old or a 23-year-old or whatever year old that, quote unquote, you're too old for dancing, like, go do that. Like, there's a reason why it's on your heart and soul, just like for you being like, okay, maybe I should do this entertainment bug thing again, because it keeps tugging. There's a reason why there's a tug there.
Absolutely. And that's why, you know, when I spoke with you and you had mentioned your past and switching into doing this podcast, I totally related and I loved it, because at whatever age we could do whatever we want. And it's funny, because I recently put out a song. I've been writing songs forever. I've been taking lessons, vocal lessons, but never told anybody, because, you know, then the fear of them being like, well, sing, you know, because it's really comfortable to just sing on the spot. So, you know, I finally released it. I sat on the song for 6 months. It was sitting in my files and I was afraid to put it out. And I finally put it out, and I've taken a lot of time to change my perspective. Like, am I, you know, there are like 15-year-olds out there who are performing and things like that and making it big. And I kind of took it and it was like, I really love doing this. And it's okay that in my 30s, I am now going to pursue this. And I think it's better that I'm going to pursue this, because I don't think my mental toughness was there to do it. So yeah, I hope everybody listening, like, take that initiative, whatever age it is. And if you feel compelled to do it, we have one life to live. That was, like, I had two really big mantras this past year. One was, you know, all those things you've always wanted to do, go do them. And then it backs it up with, we have one life to live. Mm-hmm. So we got to get it all in.
Exactly. And I think it's really important that people start, you know, bringing back that childlike wonder, no matter what age they are, because it drives me up a wall when people try to pigeonhole you into different things and all of that. Even having my law degree, there's been challenges with that where I was trying to get jobs not as a traditional attorney, but then I wouldn't be getting called back. Or if I would get called back, then people would be questioning my decisions for why I'm doing this. And I go, you don't realize actually how many people are out there that do have a legal degree that aren't attorneys or general counsel or in a traditional role that we think and someone with a legal degree should.
Yep. I can think of actually two people right now off the top of my head with law degrees that decided to go that route and do something different with it.
Right. And they don't talk about it a lot because there's this whole like shame component. So like when you're going off to do your own thing, there's still some sort of like shame going on about, oh wait, I'm going to go off the beaten path and do this thing. And people who are jaded or don't see what you see is really challenging to be around, because then it's kind of like tearing you down with the crab effect. Like, nope, come down, come back, like get in line. When you're like, no, I can't be in line anymore. Like there's a reason why I need to go off the beaten path.
Exactly. And you can, and I'm sure you can feel it in your gut, your intuition's telling you, and you can't fight that feeling. And I feel like I've done it so many times where I've just tried to like push it aside, and it, you know, every time it's right. Every time it's like, we tried telling you, Daniela, you know, but you know what? I also love that you brought up the pigeonholing thing. There are days where I'm so tempted to put on like my bio on social media, like stop trying to pigeonhole me. I can remember working with like different branding people because I do a lot of things, and I like that about myself. I think there is a value to that. It's what I always wanted to do. I made a promise to myself. I can remember talking to myself when I was younger and saying, you know, I'm in this world to, you know, express my ideas and get them out there and just be as well-rounded that as I possibly can. You know, I want to try to do as much as I love and as much as I can do that I love. So, I get so tempted sometimes, because when we're going into the whole branding world, which I understand, I guess because I'm a Sagittarius, I can see both sides of things. So I can understand why it's important that we narrow things down so people know why they are coming to us, or, you know, what we can offer them. But on the other side of it, I'm so tempted sometimes to put, stop pigeonholing me, because in whatever that word capacity is, that I have to put what I do, who I am in those few words, it drives me crazy. It drives me crazy. But no. Of course I will try to do it. But it
I completely understand. I was going to ask you if you're a Sagittarius, because I am too.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Because you're saying, I'm like, that sounds like what a Sagittarius would say, because I say it all the time. But it's like, I get it. Like, I understand like the niching and different and finding that so people know to come to you, because confused customers don't buy, or like confused audiences don't participate, reach out, whatever it may be. So it's adding that clarity. But I think it's so much so that it's like people are like, you have to be this one thing when you're not this one thing. Like, you can't be sharing, say you have a personal brand and whatever, you're selling hair products. Well, you just have to focus on hair products and be all in on that, become the expert, but you can't share that maybe you have this side of you that likes working out or going on hikes or drawing that you also want to share, you know, but, you know, hair products is supposed to be everything. And I just can't, like, I get it. I understand. So that's where I'm like, okay, my personal brand is myself.
Exactly. And it's almost heartbreaking. I once had somebody say to me, you know, I was trying to figure out my direction with my social media and what did I want to put out there? And I wanted to put out everything I did. And, you know, I've gotten a direction since then, but I remember saying like, I want to put out like, blah, 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 saying all this stuff. And they said, well, right now you put out like this inspirational stuff. That's not you. And I was like, okay, wow. Like, I was so taken aback. I was like, okay, this is where I need to hone in on myself and realize what does it look like for me? What do I want to do? Because I do want to inspire people. That's like the main thing of everything I do. And I'm probably yourself as well, you know? So, it's heartbreaking that we, you know, can kind of put holds on things that we just want to put out there for people. So I do encourage everybody to just do all the things that you want to do.
Yeah. And I think it's also important to reiterate that you have to also have a strong sense of self to be able to have that self-awareness when someone is projecting on you what their idea of who you should be or who you are, and be able to stand your ground on that. Because if you don't, then you're going to lose your identity. You're going to lose who you are. Absolutely. And all of that.
So I can actually relate a lot with that, especially in the world of on-camera talent and hosting, because, you know, there is a such thing as imaging that goes along with branding. And I understand that. And I tried really hard. I'll give a concrete example. I had met with a producer / agent, and they kind of said, you know, go on YouTube, make reviews, do this, do that. And I was like, but that's really not me. And I tried to do it and my heart just wasn't in it. And I was like, you know, it just seems too phony. And for some, they love to do it. So it's, I really commend them, because some people do love to do it and they can devote the time to do it. And for me, it was like, I'm going to have to find a different route to get myself work and recognition that's not that route, because it didn't feel genuine to me.
Which I think is also something important, like nowadays with social media and everything, and we were having a brief conversation about adding TikTok and like all of that, but there has been stuff out there and articles and information about how people's BS meters have gone up because of it. So they can definitely feel the energy of you being inauthentic versus you being authentic, and they're going to resonate more if you do the authentic thing.
Absolutely. I agree. It shows your true colors show. And I mean that in a, you know, I don't mean that in a harsh way. I mean that in a way of we should be aware of that for ourselves, so that we are doing things that feel organic to us and that feel, you know, close to our heart.
Yeah. That's super, super important. Even though like someone's wanting to jump ship and do something different, there's this like transition period that goes on. So you're still operating, like say in your 9 to 5, to be able to like jump, and that's okay. You're allowed to be in that space of frustration, but it's still understanding that that is also building up for you to have a clear understanding of who you are and which way you want to be going, and building up that confidence. Because if you don't have that confidence, like when they were telling you to give the reviews of products, when you're like, no, that's not me, then you're going to give the reviews. And then you're going to go into this downward spiral of, well, it's not working. Well, it's not working because you feel shitty about it. You don't want to do it. It's not that piece of the shit sandwich you want to do to get where you want.
Yeah. And if you do look at it from the marketing, the branding perspective, people are confused. They're confused when that happens. They're like, wait, what's happening? And it's with that same, you know, in that same respect, Lo, I want to mention too, how we were talking about this whole idea of like being who other people want us to be, or who, what else is out there, is that the other thing that breaks my heart, and I encourage people to, you know, if you're in this place, I hope you can kind of break through and be able to start the things that you want to start, because it adds a confusion to the person who's trying to also put themselves out there for some other different things, that they, you know, maybe end up not doing it because they're like, well, it doesn't look the way that it's supposed to, because that doesn't resonate with me. So what do I do? I'm just not going to do it, you know? And it almost puts that, that doubt back in people, which is, you know, not a way to live.
No, doubt like kills more dreams, kills more people than like anything else ever will. Like doubt, it's like dead people walking, like the walking dead's going on. You have self-doubt. Okay, well, you're just living, getting up, going to work, eating, watching TV. I don't know, maybe you crack a beer. That's just an image coming in my head. And you just do that instead of like, okay, yes, I'm going to go and do all of these crazy hard, challenging things, and, you know, self-doubt is going to be there, but it's also building up that muscle of self-confidence. So you're just replacing it.
Yeah. And again, since this is really focused on self-love, I just keep thinking of more things that I am working on, but that have really helped me is I make promises to myself, and I guess because I'm so obedient, I keep the promise, but I make these promises to myself. And one promise that had really helped me throughout like my whole mental health journey is that I told myself I would stop feeling validated from outside validation. Mm-hmm. So that was something that was big. And you mentioned about the doubt part. And I realized that, again, like I said in the beginning of the podcast, for me personally, I don't really have, you know, I'm not afraid to go start something, not afraid to look a little silly if I start and stop something, you know, but I am afraid for a long time, and still it eats at me, of that I need that outside validation. That you like me, oh, you like this, okay, I'll keep doing it, as opposed to like, oh, I like this and I'm hoping somebody out there does too, but I'm still going to do it. Or, you know, yeah, that's basically it in a nutshell. I'm just trying to consider the inside validation as opposed to the outside validation.
Yeah, you brought up a couple of really good points. So I'll go back to like the validation point. Is like, my question to people who are seeking validation is like, what parents' validation were you seeking? Because Tony Robbins' question is, which parent's love did you crave the most? And validation and love are two completely different things. Like, I will go lawyer on you. They're two different words, two different definitions. I mean, I have a journalism degree, so it's always been this way. I'm like, words, they're two different definitions, but it's just like, who was the parent that was cheerleading when you were achieving something? So that was giving you that validation. So you were doing something. And I didn't realize this until I had a conversation with my father last year where I was just like, holy shit. This whole time I have been seeking his validation. And then it was just like, in this conversation, it was also a very pivotal conversation that I was like, and I'm like, I'm never going to get it. Cause I'm like, there's going to be another hurdle. And I was going to be like, okay, well, I'm going to get it off the hurdle train. But it was just so interesting. Cause that's where that, like, whose validation are you seeking? So it doesn't necessarily have to be a parent. It could be someone you look up to, but that's just like something to think about. Because I would always be like, well, I want, why do I need this validation? And it's like, there's a root cause to it. So what's the root to it? And I finally got to the root to it. And then ta-da, this podcast is happening.
Ah, that's great. No, it's such a good point. And I'm nodding my head because I can think of a lot of people, not necessarily my parents, because they were genuinely very much, you know, I was on stage dancing and could have like been falling on my face and they would have still been like, you did a great job. Mm-hmm. So they were very supportive and still are. So, but I'm nodding my head because I can definitely think of a lot of people that, it's, you're right about that hurdle train. It's like, you got to get off of it, but then it's the next stop, you're right back on it. And it's a vicious pattern and cycle.
Right. But then that goes back to what you said about the promises that you make yourself. Like, have you read the Four Agreements?
I have not.
Okay. So spoiler alert, one of the agreements is being your word. And that hit home to me so much because I've read that and it was about, you know, keeping promises to yourself. And by keeping those promises and being your word, that also builds up the self-confidence. So since you have that promise, like you're building, you'll get there. You'll get off the train eventually because you'll have so much built up like belief in yourself that you're able to do it. You're the only validation you need is within you, not like how many likes you have or whatever it may be. But yeah, that was the Four Agreements, like being your words. I'm like, oh, and it's the little things. It's not saying like, oh, I'm going to lose 10 pounds in 30 days. No, no, no. It's I'm going to stop hitting the snooze button for 21 days and see what happens. That's when the self-confidence erodes and you make that promise to yourself, but then you break it, then you're not being your word.
I love that. I'm going to have to check that out. It's four agreements.
Yeah, the four agreements.
And you know what's funny is you mentioned about, I know we're talking a lot about social media, but it's just kind of, it's happening. So it's funny that you mentioned about social media, because one of the things that I really love is that they, you know, they took away that you can see how many people, how many likes you have. And it's funny because I was talking to someone the other day and I said, I felt a difference. Like I felt relief. And that I didn't think I had, because for the longest time I was saying, well, I'm just checking to see how many likes I have so I can do my analytics and see what posts are working most and who's relating to what. Mm-hmm. And then the minute that happened that day, I can remember feeling such relief of like, I just want to post this because I think somebody will like it, you know, or because it's my own little memory page for myself. And it's a huge relief. And I'm really glad that they did that.
Well, and that was their whole intention too with Instagram, was kind of like taking back the reins of being like, this was a platform for like people to share and feel safe, when now it's just turned into a whole vicious cycle that no one really foresees because it's the internet. But it's like, we just want it to be fun again. So that's where you and I are talking about TikTok. TikTok is fun. Like I understand it, and people are starting to go, like brands are starting to do it and come on there and all of that, which it's also kind of like, well, how long is this going to last that it's being fun and people aren't going to be like consistently selling and promoting, which again, I also get it, like your business, but your worth isn't tied into a number. Cause I've had a conversation with another person who is a business owner, and they freaked out because they're like, that's how I know, like that's, I get all my business from Instagram and all of this. And I go, do you do email marketing? No, that's too much. Maybe you should do some research on email marketing and see why all of the influencers and all of the other brands aren't really freaking out about it.
Like, right.
That should give you some solace.
It's such a good point. And you know, it's a good reassessment for business owners, like you said, because everybody has to keep reassessing how they are connecting with people. And so it's a good little check-in. I'm glad you mentioned that about business owners.
Right. And there's just a lot of this authenticity and then being consistent with it. So say you use it for your brand, then it's, you plan out, and what's been supportive of me is planning out like what, how many days am I going to post, what content I'm going to post on those days. So for me, Mondays and Tuesdays generally tend to be the longer posts, the more of like the personal blogging going on that. I mean, Tuesdays are when I drop the solo podcast, so it's a little longer, but the rest of the week is more like Wednesdays are like fun or whatever, like I want to be goofy and silly, and then it's featuring someone, and Fridays are kind of more inspirational or like different like quotes that resonate with me and sharing it with the week. So it's just being consistent with that, and that's where anyone that I follow in any sort of way for like business and social media, they say like one, consistency is key to having a plan like that. I'm like, okay, cool. That's fun. I get to show all aspects of me, which is, I mean, I am my personal brand. I have the Built Brave podcast, but it is my personal brand.
Yeah. And you do a great job, by the way. I love all your posts. I just want to tell you that. So you're doing a great job there. But I had a conversation with a client the other day, and I can remember being in her shoes, because she's like, I want to start building my brand more and doing so on social media. And I could see the fear in her eyes when I started to tell her like the actual like statistics or ways to keep up with things. And then I broke it down and I said, but here's what I want you to do. And I want you to do what works for you. If being consistent with one post a week is what you can handle right now, then do what you can handle. And then from there, it'll grow. But the second you put the pressure on doing it, you will start to back off from everything you're doing, because it's too much for that person at once. So yeah, it's definitely so important. I'm very big on like recognizing what works for you, like what works for you as the individual. And, you know, I always joke, like I'll play the game, but no one's going to come between me and my boundaries or between what is going to be the best for my mental health or my physical health or anything like that, or my, you know, time with my family. So I'll play the game if I have to, but I'll play it to with my rules.
Well, exactly. I mean, you bring up a lot of points. One, I want to go back to like the capacity. So I had a coach me on capacity, not in the social media realm, but on like the personal realm. Like, what do you have capacity for? We are ironically talking about manifesting my partner and what my man looks like and being like, well, do you actually have the capacity to do that? I'm like, fuck.
You raise a good question.
she did. It's like you have this list, and then she's like, then look at the list. Like, you have the list of what your man is, then you have the list of what you have to be to get that type of person. And I'm just like, well, God damn it. And so then it's like building up capacity. So with posting on social media, it was just like, okay, I'll make sure I'll post 3 times a day. Not a day, that's way too much, but 3 times a week and just be consistent. And then it just builds over time. So that's with like anything. So say, you know, health, you want to get fit and all of that. For me, it's like, okay, I need to get my diet under control, but, and what foods work with for me and all of that. So then it's like, okay, what change can I do that small and build up that capacity to where I am my diet under control and I'm working out at the same time and I don't feel overwhelmed, because for whatever reason, both of them at the same time feels super overwhelming to me. Which makes sense. Like, I was an athlete growing up, all of that. And then, but I was eating whatever. So now when I'm being an athlete and switching up my eating, then that's a little overwhelming because I don't have that capacity. Like, I'm not used to doing that and be able to have the space and make that time for it versus everything else. In my mind's like, I got to do this. I got to do that.
Yeah, I can 100% relate with that. I'm a small stepper too. I can only, you know, my capacity has to be little steps that develop. And I think it's so great that you're bringing this up, because I keep thinking about, you know, everything I kind of do, I relate back to being an artist. And, mm-hmm. and one of the major things I learned, which I'm so grateful for, growing up in dance, is the awareness of things. So I think it's so great that like what you're talking about is you have that awareness, something needs to change, something needs to happen. And then it's being open to it. Because especially with the love thing, you know, I'm sure my sisters, I'll call them out. I'm sure my sisters love hearing me, who's been in a relationship for almost 10 years, tell them like, you just have to be open to it. But I sincerely mean that. And I mean that because I relate it to other things in my life of when I was open to these things, mm-hmm. that's when they came into my world. So, but I kudos to you, because you're open, you're aware, you're open to it. And, you know, you're figuring it out, especially the relationship thing, which is always a complicated,
oh my God.
That could be a whole other podcast.
there's just some days, and like going on a mini tangent on that, cause I want to talk about like universe and the signs, and generally speaking, when the universe gives me the same sign like 3 times in a row, I pay attention. So I most recent is downloading The Artist Way to listen to that, because within a 24 period that I heard it on 2 separate podcasts, then I saw it on a social media post. I'm like, well, the universe wants me to get real serious on this.
Oh yes. You'll love it. I have the book.
But with the, like the man and all of that, I had 3 separate friends of mine who don't co-mingle with each other. So they have no idea. Like, they know of each other, but they're not gonna be like, hey, blah, blah, blah. They said to me the exact same thing. And I'm just like, all right, cool beans. Yeah. I guess I don't need to worry about this. But basically, in a nutshell, it was like, he's meant to find me, so I just need to do my own thing. So that also took some relief off of pressure. But I was just like, oh, okay. So I can stop doing these things, because I'm clear on what the type of man I want and need. Like, I'm clear on all of that. That was just, I just do my own thing and he'll show up, which Absolutely. Is all, yeah. Which also I want to go to my point of the how is never up to you. So when you're saying like being open, it's like, okay, I am open for it to happening however it's meant to happen, but the goal is never going to change.
Absolutely. That, Lo, I will tell you, that was one of my hardest challenges, or I guess habits to break, is I realized that, you know, it's funny. We tell ourselves these things like, of course, like I'm very trusting. And really when I broke it down, I was not very trusting of things to just happen after I put the action and intention into it. You know, I would joke like, I'm going to make you read The Art of Letting Go. And I wasn't practicing it myself, but it really is those times where you can let go of the, like you said, let go of the how or let go of the mm-hmm. expectations. And it's every time I've done that, every time, you know, you think you'd learn, I'd learn my lesson on things, but it's every time mm-hmm. it, you let it go. And that's really how, like a big thing, which I hope we get to is about mental health awareness and just mm-hmm. helping people to talk about what's going on and not, you know, fight through that debilitating thoughts and things like that. And I was thinking about it the other day and I really thought to myself, it's crazy to me to think how much I've let go. I've let go of the thoughts. I've let go of, I don't want to say I have let go of controlling things, but I make, you know, I allow myself to plan or take action, but then I let go. And it makes you smile. It's a very peaceful place to be. And so I hope, you know, anyone who's listening, like what you're saying, Lo, about the how is not up to us is once it clicks, like that light bulb goes off, and people can practice that, it's life-changing.
Oh, 100%. Like you can breathe. It's like a fresh breath of air and there's like this calming sense. But yeah, I was actually wanting to switch gears into talking about mental health because you have a great organization that you've created. So you want to talk about that?
Sure. I'd love to. Thank you for the kind words too. So Still Standing Together is my support and empowerment organization, and it focuses on mental health resources and just helping to get people together or the connections or the therapy solutions in any way that I possibly can. And I hope that grows actually as we go on. It's only been 1 year of this, but getting people, you know, back on their feet and getting them through the current struggles or challenges they're going through, which is a, you know, I don't know if I've cracked that code yet because I've been there before where I've been at my lowest, and it's very hard to get yourself to show up to a support group or to call a friend or to message someone that maybe isn't even a close friend, but as you know, has told you, reach out to me if you need me, or to reach out to a therapist or, you know, any type of guide or mentor. So I don't know yet if I've cracked that code, but my mission with Still Standing is, you know, to really help people, give them as many resources and solutions as they can to take action while they are going through any type of mental health difficulty or any type of like unexpected challenge, like a death or just, you know, a loss of a job, anything like that. So, because that's actually how Still Standing Together started. It was at a very low point in 2018. I have anxiety and depression. I had panic attacks that were starting to happen from a lot of other circumstances, but mainly started with, you know, panic attacks for death. And we can go into a million reasons going into my past why that happened, that I broke down with my therapist from before. But, you know, I got to a point in 2018 that I had told myself I would never get to again. It was a very low place. I can remember laying in bed and I couldn't get up. I physically couldn't. It was after months and months and months of just, you know, breakdowns, and I couldn't get out of bed. And I finally, it was like, I don't want to live my life like this. I didn't want to live my life like this. You know, my boyfriend he was so worried. He came home from work. My sisters were calling me, you know, I had people there. And the point of this is that months finally, you know, finances were an issue. So I had, a sister was like, you're going to therapy, I'm paying for it. Don't think of it. Like, you're not even saying no. I had a sister call the therapist for me, you know, cause I just felt like I couldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. I felt immobile. And, months down the line, I still, you know, was working on a lot of things because what I try to tell people too is even after coming to the support groups and workshops that we hold through Still Standing, I wish that you're going to leave and everything would be different and better. I can promise that, you know, you'll have the tools or and things to work with that might be able to help you if you can apply them to your life. You'll have people that you can talk to, reach out. I try to follow through and keep up with everybody just to make sure they know that I'm a resource for them if they need somebody to connect them or need that nudge to go to therapy. That's a big part of Still Standing Together, is I really just want to be able to follow up with people as much as possible. So, you know, months down the line, this organically happened because I was saying to my therapist, you know, I can't imagine people not having the support that I had. And it's funny because the support that I had, yes, it was my immediate family, but I also had a few people, and that's grown since I've started Still Standing Together, that I had two best friends that I've known for 20 years now. They came to one of my support groups and I told them that this happened. And my friend pulled me over. She said, "Why didn't you ever call me?" And I was like, I couldn't. Like, she had no idea this was happening. And she was one of my closest friends. So, you know, sometimes it's hard to go to those close people. So I'm just trying to make a network of people. Long story short, basically in therapy, I said to my therapist, you know, how do I help people who need the support system? And I said, I'm going to start something. I'm going to start an organization. It's going to be this big positive thing. And while it is a positive venture, she said to me, okay, but you're going to, you know, you might have to share your struggles with them, because people need to know that this is a normal thing, like mm-hmm. that people go through this and they're not alone in this, because that was what helped me. I really, you know, I would hear from other people, like they were going to therapy, they were doing this. And so that's kind of where Still Standing Together happened. I happened to meet two therapists at a conference I was at, and they said, I feel like we should do something together. And so I kind of jumped on it. And it was funny because I wrote like 3 pages of ideas that we could all collaborate on. And they were like, you know, kind of nodding their head. And at the end, I said, okay, well, I do have this one idea that I was just talking to my therapist about. And, you know, and right away, they were like, that's it. Yep, let's do it. You organize it. We're there for you. And the fact that I have had the support of, you know, therapists and traditional, non-traditional types of mentors and coaches and counselors has been monumental, because again, I had that doubt, like, well, who am I to come in and do this? Yes, I you know, I'm trained in different things, emotional empowerment training and things like that. But like, who am I to come and do this? I'm not a therapist. So that was a big, long explanation, but that's kind of how Still Standing Together started.
No, I think that's actually really important, because you know, part of the reason, actually the main reason I started this podcast was to show women what was possible for them, and then saying that they're not alone. So having conversations about, okay, sure, I'm doing this big scary thing, but here's what was going on internally. Because I think it's so important for people to be aware of that, because otherwise it's so isolating. You feel yes. so alone. Like, you have no idea what is going on. And plus, you know, you said that your friend had no idea, and she wanted you, it was like, why didn't you reach out? Because there's still like shame going on. Feel like that's a word, the word of the podcast is like shame.
Yes.
Because you're just like, I should have my shit together. I don't know what's wrong with me. And then it's also like, I don't want to see you feel sorry for me or feel sorry for me, when it's just like, someone needs to hold space for me and not make it be such a bad thing that I'm a human having emotions.
Yes. And you hit the nail on the head. You're literally reading my mind, because as many times as I can talk about all these different times in my life where I was at a very low point and I lost control of, you know, everything happening in my brain, it was, that was hard. Yes. But then I realized what was the hardest thing to conquer was that shame part, because I can't tell you how many people, once I finally started talking more about like, this happens to me and it's a, you know, it does happen. And you know, I hope that by example, you can see that even though this happens, I'm still trying to do this in my life and, you know, things like that. But I can't tell you how many people were like, wait, but you're so happy. I don't get it. You're such a happy person. And so that was like, that was a shameful thing, because it was like, I don't want to disappoint anybody. you know, and it, mm-hmm. and that's where it starts to really snowball with people. So at some point, I feel like things like this amazing podcast that you're doing, like something will kind of like put a stop to that for people and be like, okay, it's time to, you know, it's time to shift something. It's time to, you know, this does happen and there is no shame in it. And it's okay if it's not that, you know, especially for me, I started going to therapy, and it's funny because my QVC opportunity, I think back and I'm like, I went through so many auditions. I don't even know how I did them because I was in such a bad place mentally. Mm-hmm. And then that was the other thing. It was like, oh my goodness, how do I put this out there when I'm supposed to be a certain, you know, image. And so it starts to eat at you. Like you can't honor the way you feel and take care of yourself. And it's, you know, and you can, the message is that I think we're both trying to send is like, you can, if you need to stop things and put a hole or share and talk to somebody or be honest and open, that all helps you heal. And that's okay.
No, exactly. About the whole, you know, we have this idea of what something is supposed to look like. And when it doesn't look like it, then people question it. But how many times have people of entertainment, like the most funniest individuals, come out and commit suicide? So like Robin Williams comes to my mind. Like,
yes, all the time.
Everyone was just kind of shocked. Like he went through this. Yeah. He had some past of different things, but he was always like happy, funny, all of that. So that's where I've seen it enough times and I've experienced it with people where when people are being extra with it, I'm like, okay, this person needs a little bit more love here.
Yeah.
Like maybe I should just reach out to them, send them a text, call them, whatever it may be, so that they feel like seen instead of feeling like they're on all the time and that no one sees them, even though they're mentally screaming help.
Yes. I love that you do that too. I try to do the same. And I think it's so great that you're mentioning that because it is, it's something like a text, you know, and mm-hmm. we spoke earlier about how you said usually three times, if the universe sends you three messages in some way, I can remember, you know, I'm sure you can too, where you get that little like, hey, shoot that. Hey, check in on that person, you mm-hmm. know, and it can be that littlest thing that just maybe helps them be like, okay, let me, you know, maybe it starts the conversation that they need to have that day that they wouldn't have had otherwise.
Yeah. No, there are so many times where some person who we were just acquaintances, but it would be like an intuition pig, be like, just reach out to that person. And I'd be like, what the heck would I even say? And then the next day I'd find out that they committed suicide and then I'd feel like shitty about myself. Like, oh, yeah. My intuition.
Yeah.
No matter how weird and freaky it was telling me to do this. So now it's just like anytime I get this ping to like just to reach out, I do it because I don't want another day to wake up to be like, oh, I should have done that.
Right.
No, maybe it would have saved them. Maybe it would not have. I don't know. I don't ever want to experience either of that. But it's just now like, okay, just reach out to the person.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Even if I know they give me some BS line that they're fine, but at least on my end, it's like, well, I see you, so I'm here.
Yeah.
If you need it.
Exactly. And you know what? I think it goes back to that doubt factor that I found that sometimes when I don't reach out to someone and listen to that, it's actually because, you know, of myself. And I'm like, oh, well, I don't want to annoy them or, you know, so it's again, going back to that doubt factor. So it all kind of in turn circles back to like, we need to trust ourselves and we need to trust what's going to happen for us and go back to that whole idea of just, you know, letting go of those doubts.
Mm-hmm. No, that's perfect. Just letting go of those doubts.
Yeah.
Said, then done.
Yes.
But really, that's where it is. And then before we get into the final questions, because we could talk all night about all of this, because this is so like near and dear to my heart, mental health in general and people just being like not alone, because it's also going with like the strong ones. Because I identify very much as the strong one. And anyone who knows me for a second realizes that. So that's where it's kind of like you need to check in on them too. So like you may think they have their shit together, but I cannot tell you how many times when I was losing my shit that I'm like, I want to reach out to this person, but I can't reach out to this person because then they can't see me like this. Because if they see me like this, then they're going to feel like the world is going to shit because I'm not this cool, collected, strong person. I'm the weak person and they don't know how to handle it.
Right. It's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure on you.
Oh, it's so much fucking pressure. Like I get into an argument with my head all the time and about it. And there are some people who have, you know, been working on my vulnerability and having like that close knit to like be able to say different things. So when I share things on the podcast or social media, it's not as emotionally charged. It's more of like, hey, like I've been going through this, like, you know, you're not alone type of thing. But it's also being like, I also had to actively be like, okay, I need to feel like I can come to you, that you're able to like hold the weight of the world for me for a minute.
Absolutely.
And then like I'll take it back. Like it's being the strong one is just inherent in my grain. Like it's just in me. But there are some times where I'm like, you know what? Just give me a hug. That's all I want. Yeah. Maybe text me and be like, hey, how are you? Instead of
I'm gonna make sure that I text you. One day it's just gonna I'm gonna be like, hi.
That'll be fine. I'll probably laugh out loud and tell you that I laughed out loud because I'll know exactly. But it's just getting to the point, like one person in my life, she would check in on me because of that whole mentality of like the strong ones. And there are so many other people that I'm friends with who are also like, you mean like minds attract each other where I also check in on them too. So that I'm like, yeah, I know. I see you're putting up that strong front, but I can tell there's some shit going on in there. Like, you know, let's come on.
Let it all out. Get it out.
But yeah. All right. Going into the final questions, where can everyone find you?
Sure. So you can always email me at hello@DanielaGaldi.com. I'll spell that quickly. DanielaGaldi.com. You can find me on Facebook at Daniela Galdi. It's literally dot com. You can also find me on Instagram at Daniela_Galdi. And you can also learn more about Still Standing Together at Still Standing Together on Instagram, and also stillstandingtogether@gmail.com, and all websites, danielagaldi.com and stillstandingtogether.com. Tried to keep it as consistent as possible for everybody.
Right. Make it easier. And this will also be in the show notes, so you guys will be able to see this as well. So go follow, you know, join Still Standing, because I think it's really something that's super, super important to bring more awareness to.
Thank you. Thank you. You're welcome. I appreciate that.
Anytime. What's a book, resource, podcast, whatever that you have found value that you would suggest to the audience?
Okay. So am I allowed to say I have a resolution? But one of my goals. Yes,
maybe not resolution. You can say goal.
One of my promises to myself is that I will read more. So I have not read this yet, but I've heard great things. And it's actually sitting on my bedside. And so Big Magic.
Oh my God. I have
not read it yet.
100%.
Okay. So I know I kind of twisted your question around, but that is something that I'm hoping to read soon. So yeah, if anyone has not read it yet, Lo has read it.
Yeah. So when I said this shit sandwich, you'll understand even more now. Okay, about great. It because it came from that book and I can't, Big Magic, and it's totally fine. It was resonating for you and you're looking forward to reading it, but definitely Big Magic.
Yeah, I feel like I'm a little late in the game for all that, but yeah, I'm hoping to make a little bit more time with it. So,
okay, awesome, Big Magic. Yeah, I can't like go read it. It's like one of the first books I read in my whole personal development journey. What has been your bravest moment?
Recent or in the past? It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Jeez, my bravest moment. Two things are coming to mind. So I guess I'll kind of share both. One was when I was growing up, I kind of had to, I'll get a little deep or not deep, but my grandparents were very close to me and they were sick as we were growing up. And I remember they lived down the street because, like all Italians, we all live on the same block growing up. So, I remember the one day my grandmom had fallen and my grandpa was sick, so he couldn't figure out how to help her up. And I don't know how I did it, but I broke down their door. So that was a very, I helped, it was a very physically strong moment, but it was one of the mm-hmm. bravest moments because as the youngest of my entire family and it's still in high school at that time, it was like, I can remember my family's like, look like, oh my God, one, thank God you were there. And did you just break down a door? So that was one. The second time was honestly when I closed my studio because it was at a peak. It was very successful. I knew kind of I had it for 4 years. I knew after the first 2 years, I did not want to be teaching full time. I had tried to transition for the last 2 years. It was very difficult. I had tried to switch my business model, things like that. I was able to downsize, but the heart, I was very proud of myself because people would ask me, people would say to me, I'm so sorry you gave up, or I'm so sorry it didn't work. And I'd be like, give them a little Philly look, like, wait, what? And so, to be able to get through that, where people just looked at me where I was, which word I don't like because I think it's very hard to fail, but where people looked at me like I was a failure was very hard. And to me, it was the bravest moment of my life because I was ending something that was not good for me anymore. And it was taking, it was doing something for me and not for my clients or for, the fact that it would, look bad to other people. So I hold that as a very brave moment in my life because I was able to combat all that and still do what was best for me.
Yeah. No, that's actually a really good one and a good reminder to people that, failure is more like lessons. Like you were doing it for a reason. You weren't doing it because like it was bleeding you dry of money, but either way, that's not a failure because you learned and you had to go out and do that.
Right. A lot of people too, when I tell them and then I close the business, they're like, oh, I'm sorry, it didn't do well. And I'm like, oh no, it did great. Like it was doing real well. So, it's funny. I try to be very conscious about how I speak with people. It's a big thing for me. And I try to encourage others too, because when I started my studio at 24, I really didn't know what I was doing, but I got myself a business mentor and things like that. And I would talk with people, do informational interviews. But so many people, instead of saying congratulations, or if they did say congratulations, they would follow it up with, well, what are you going to do if it doesn't work? Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, wow, again, give them that look, like, did you really just say that? So I think, I hope lots of people have brave moments like that where they can kind of stand up for what they need.
You were bringing it full circle back to like, we always have to have that plan B because, plan A is never going to work when maybe it is if you just burn all the boats.
Exactly.
And then my final question for you, what is your definition of brave?
I knew this was coming. No, it's a great question. I'm glad you asked it. So, my definition of brave would have to be to believe in yourself and believe that things are possible past what you're normal or what you know. So to just have that belief that all things are possible, even if it's not what is a normal to you.
That's perfect.
And going for those things and making them happen.
I can't say it better myself. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Daniela.
Well, thank you so much, Lo. I really am so honored that you asked me to be on this. It's incredible what you're doing. And you have such a great perspective to really help people to achieve their goals and to be the person they want to be. So thank you.
Aw, thank you.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Built Brave. If you love this episode, heck, if you like this episode, please head on over, give it a rate, review, subscribe, like, shout it out on your social media with your major takeaways and what you loved about the episode. And as always, tag me in that at Low Wentworth, because I love hearing what you guys got out of the episodes. And until next time, remember, you've always been brave.